Decided to go through a series of lessons I did years and years ago, back when my kids were little. But noticing that, can't help but notice that we got a lot of little kids around and a lot of newborns, and I think it's about appropriate time to start talking about raising children again. For some of you, it's old hat, but for a lot of us, it's a lot of people, it's new. And so we need to look at it and discuss it from a biblical point of view. There are a lot of changes that come to a family when a child is born. There are preparations that are made for the coming years. You can tell, we sometimes tease about the nesting instinct. People start gathering up all sorts of things for the newborn that's even long before the child's even there. They got all the equipment, all the things that are needed. Preparations are made. And with the newborn, we understand that, well, when you have a child, you're supposed to raise it. You got to teach it. But with a newborn, the actual learning comes for the parent and not for the child. It's the parent who has to learn some things. We could talk about love. We could talk about devotion. But what we're going to talk about is patience for today. Because that's something that most new parents have to learn. If you think about it in your childhood, and especially you get to the teenage years, patience is not usually a descriptive term for a teenager. And sometimes not even for a young adult. But it's something that parents have to learn. See, newborns make a lot of demands. They need to be fed. They need to be changed. They need to be played with. And those things wouldn't be difficult in and of themselves, except that they are on the child's time frame and not on the parents. It's on their schedule, not yours. It is really tough. I still remember those days. It's really, really hard to be enthusiastic and loving at 3 a.m., especially when the last time the demand came was at 1 a.m. Time has no meaning to newborns. Playtime could be 2 in the morning just as easily as 2 in the afternoon. And the needs are not spelled out. You know, newborn cries out, "Wah!" meaning I'm hungry. And you know what? It sounds awful like, "Wah! I'm lonesome." And that leaves the poor parent really quickly coming up with this checklist saying, okay, is it a diaper? No. Is he hungry? No. Does he want to play? No. Just wants to be held. And you start going down through this checklist, one after the other. And what really gets frustrating when you get to the end of your checklist and it's still not have an answer. Because the answer is none of the above, and you don't know it. Every parent comes to the end of his or her wits at some point. The frustrations are inability to quiet a child. And sometimes we turn it on ourselves. I'm a miserable parent. Why did I ever want a child? And sometimes it turns on the child. Why can't you be happy? But we got to learn, instead of being frustrated, then we need to have that idea of patience. For mothers, it's a dangerous time, especially when the child's first born, because the hormones are settling back to the normal state. For both parents, the lack of sleep, the constant irritating cries, keeps a person from thinking clearly. But we have a lesson that we are taught from the scriptures about patience. Something that we all need, not just newborn parents, but all of us need to learn it. The problem is, the best way to learn patience is through difficulties and trials. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and in verse 14, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. You know, it's not just the newborns that need it. Everyone needs to be patient with. There are a lot of things that happen in congregations that sometimes irritate people. The answer to that is be patient. Trials come. And James chapter 1, and in verse 2, it says, consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's really what patience is about. Endurance. Hanging on. Continuing. Despite the trials. Despite the hardships. Now, we talk about it oftentimes in terms of religious persecution, but that's not where it limits it there. You know, handling a newborn is a trial. Sitting up late at night with a sick child is a trial. Teaching a teenager to drive is a trial. Waiting for your daughter to get back from her first date is a trial. There are all sorts of difficulties we face through life. Just ordinary, everyday life. And sometimes our faith is tested. Can we depend on God's help? Can we trust that God's going to answer our prayers? There always will be difficulties. There's always be hardships. But the first lesson all of us need to learn is how to be patient. In Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 11, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. It's not easy to go through trials of any sort. And life's full of them. Afterwards, though, when we look back through it and we see that we have learned the lesson that's presented, we realize that we've grown. We've changed. Our abilities to handle problems increases. That's why God sometimes allows us to have trials. Allows us to face things that we might think are beyond what we can endure. Because it's a lesson all of us need. It's not fun, but it teaches us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Therein lies the thing that a lot of us don't want to face. To get to the point of being strong and patient and able to endure requires a lot of exercise of that patience and a lot of trials that have to go along with it. There has to be suffering. Suffering perfects us. It brings us to maturity. It establishes us. It plants us firmly in our beliefs. It strengthens us. It helps us to endure whatever comes next. And it settles us, giving us a level head. And if you're thinking back to your teenage years, all of us needed that. And continue sometimes to need that. As we get stronger and as we get older, it's much like what's mentioned in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2 and in verse 2, older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. It's not just the men either. Look at the older women. Older women are likewise to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. That they may encourage young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God may not be dishonored. All the way through life, it's taught from one generation down to another. How to be sensible, how to be firm, how to handle yourself in a dignified way. To be sound in faith and love. And it comes from learning to get through the trials of life. See, patience is not a natural trait. It's not something we're born with. Look at any newborn, you can understand that. They're not born to be patient. We learn patience. It's a byproduct of following God. Going back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and starting with verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patient, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit, the byproduct of following God, leads to all those things, including the idea of patience. It ought to be a characteristic of all Christians. Something that people mark and note that this is something that makes you different from the rest of the world. Because most of the world is not patient. You can see that when you just drive down the road and the traffic gets heavy. You can see that when there's a line at McDonald's. People tend not to be patient. It is a characteristic that a Christian ought to develop. In fact, when we're teaching people, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, well, I'm going to start back at verse 23. "But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them to a repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." Again, the characteristic of a child of God in teaching is patience. There are going to be times when you're trying to teach somebody and they'll turn on you. Simply because you're demonstrating the very thing that they don't have. What do you need when that happens? You need patience. What happens when you teach somebody and it doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere? You need to have patience. That's what breaks through when there's problems in people's lives. With a newborn also, we understand there needs to be patience. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This idea of bringing a child up, training. Well, what training do you give to a newborn? Actually, there are still lessons that a parent can teach, needs to teach. There's a difference between night and day. There's a lesson that has to come through. Teaching a child to sleep on his own or her own. Begin establishing patterns, rituals. A lot of times that helps a newborn. You know, you read a story, you sing a song. Last feedings in the dim room. All those teach a child to say, this is getting time to be bedtime. A lot of times our lives are all topsy-turvy and we do one thing, another thing, and we have different things happening all the time. But for a newborn, if you want to get that lesson across, have something as a part of the pattern. If you don't think that happens, I can tell you it does happen. I have a dog that knows exactly when it's Sunday. Sunday morning, every time he gets into his kennel and goes to sleep. Other days of the week, he doesn't do it. Sundays, he does it. Why? Because my wife and I get our suits, our better clothes. He knows it. As soon as he sees it, into the kennel, he's out. Newborns are smarter than that. One of the tricks my second brother did, they always sang a song right before bedtime. Worked every time. They knew this was the time that this was time for bed. We read a story. We read just a short story, and that would be bedtime. That was the signal for it. That can get across. A fixed place to sleep. That's why newborns don't sleep very well when you travel. Now, learning that mom and dad are loving and dependable. You know, when their cries are come, they know the cries are not going to be ignored forever. Somebody's going to come and answer. At the same time, they also learn that everything isn't solved immediately. Though problems are eventually worked out. Now, sometimes you'll get to a point, and it's advisable, when you just can't figure out anything else. Everything is solved, and the child won't go to sleep and still crying. Allow the child to cry for a little while. Go in once in a while, settle them back down, but don't give in. Eventually the child learns, this is time to sleep. And it doesn't end there. This patience that you're developing when you got newborns, and you're saying, oh, I can't wait till the next phase. No, you're just building up for the next phase. You need patience to deal with the endless questions of newborns. You won't believe how many things can be asked by why. But you need the patience to answer those questions. Or dealing with the stubbornness of a child, or the flights of fancy, or the pleadings for just one more piece of candy. It needs patience to handle all that. We easily forget, and this is one of the points I would like you to take away from the lesson, is we easily forget that it takes time to learn. Whether we're teaching a child, whether we're teaching children, whether we are teaching teenagers or adults, lessons take time to learn. You know, writing might come easy for you, but it's a big chore for a little one. I still remember from fifth grade the trauma of being told I had to write a 10-page report. That took a month to write that 10-page. I could do that in an hour or so now without even blinking. But back then, it was a trauma. And we got to understand, we're not the same. When you're teaching someone who is a child of in Christianity and a child of God, you have to understand what's easy for you may not be easy for them because they haven't learned. They haven't grown. And sometimes patience is called for to help that person get to that point. Just like someone was patient with you and taught you the gospel. There's an opportunity we have today, if there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And if there's anyone here who is a child of God who would like the prayers of the brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song of the selected.